But it's lovely to, yeah, we're recording it. Thanks, Helen. Brilliant stuff. So if you've got any questions, do shoot them to Helen on the chat, which we may or may not get to, but we'll see how we do. We basically go to 9:15 and we stop. We'll do a little bit of input, and then we'll do some activations, some exercises, and let's just take a moment. Just turn your heart off, whatever your day's been like. Just turn your heart up to the Lord, and I would just suggest you just breathe, really breathe deeply, and just become very aware of where you're sitting. Let the day drop away. Just breathe deeply into your back and just breathe out. And just in your own word, in your own heart, just welcome the Lord to come and teach you tonight. He's our teacher. The Spirit of God is our teacher. And just allow yourself to be really present for the next hour, just to what you're doing here and now. You spend so much time on so many screens all the time, and so just come really present to just this, with your heart open to the Lord. Lord Jesus, that we just welcome you. You're the breath of life for us. You are the living water that leaps up, rises up into eternal life. You're our brother and the firstborn amongst many brothers and sisters, and everything we are learning, you have already done, and you already know how to do it. And we long that you would teach us what it is to be fully human, is sharing in the divine nature and to be one spirit with our God. Would you expand our minds, expand our hearts, awaken a deeper consciousness of Christ and the Spirit of Jesus living in us? Would you give us so much grace, Lord, to learn the things that we've not learned before, to unlearn the things that we need to unlearn, and to learn the new ways, the ways of the Spirit that we've never learned before. So we welcome you, Holy Spirit. Move amongst us, move in our hearts, and teach us your ways. Teach us your ways. May we be fully identified with the new creation, the new creations in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your presence with each one of us. And teach us how, Lord, to ascend into your presence more fully, more completely, more consciously, more intentionally. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So I got asked the question the other day, is what we're doing ascension prayer? And I thought to myself, oh, that's really interesting, because that's a phrase that's doing the rounds. And I thought, well, actually, I think, yes, it is what we're doing is ascension prayer. So I thought I'd maybe just start there and just unpack that a little bit about what we're trying to learn, and the ways in which God is trying to or looking to teach us. Once we're born again, and our spirits, we enter into our spirits enter into this mystical union with Christ. Our spirit becomes one with Christ, with Jesus. We become one with the divine. We share in the divine nature. And our whole identity, our whole reality is completely transformed and shifted because we now share in the life of the Trinity. And the Trinity shares his life, their life, with us. And in because we have the enter into this mystical union, there's absolute mystery in all of this. I think what I'd hate to ever do is say, I know exactly how it works, and you just do this and you just do that. There is deep mystery in understanding these things because they come to us by revelation, not because we've read a book or not even because we've been on a Zoom call, but because we've been exploring these things ourselves in our own intimate a relationship with the Lord. But at its simplest, what we're saying is once we come into our relationship with Christ, we're able to operate in unseen realms. So we're able to engage with and interact with unseen beings and unseen realms, which are called the heavenly realms in Scripture. It's not just that we've been saved and forgiven and we're going to go to heaven one day. What it, Scripture teaches that once we're born again of the Spirit, we already are in heaven. We've already passed from death to life. We're already free from the power of sin and death. The Scriptures have such extraordinary a sort of landscape and vista of what's happened to us. And what happens in church life and has happened over generations and centuries, it's also made very mundane and very manageable, and it's sort of thing that isn't too outrageous and isn't too demanding. And so what we're left with is a bit of a sort of a low-level expectation of what it is to be in Christ, and it's like, well, at least I'm going to go to heaven. But once we begin to open up these realities, what we see is that whatever Jesus did, we can do. We're being as I was looking at Ephesians today, that we are being conformed to the image of Christ, the full stature of Christ, which is an extraordinary thing, because maybe we'll do a particular evening when we'll just look at how did Jesus interact with the unseen realms. We see him learning in his Father's presence. We see him operating in heavenly realms. We see him transfigured up on the Mount of and Mount Hermon. We see Jesus operating in heavenly realms whilst on the earth at the same time. And at one point he says, I am in heaven whilst I'm still on the earth. It's in John chapter 3. So we beginning to it begins to play with our heads really, because we're not used to thinking I can be in more than one place at one time. But the reality is we're all in more than one place at one time. At the very simplest, we are located in Christ, seated at his right hand in the heavenly realms with Christ, whilst you're sitting in your sitting room on a chair in Australia, in Africa, in Devon, in Wales, wherever you might be. Now, what this begins to do is to shift our understanding of salvation a bit. At salvation, we've all had a dimensional shift. In other words, we don't just get saved on the planet and wait to be taken up to heaven. At salvation, our spirits become one with God in spirit, and we actually make a huge dimensional shift from one state to another state, from one realm to another realm, and that opens up all the realms in the heavenly places. So we look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. which I think Helen's going to bring up now. Here we go. Great, thank you. Okay, so we'll just pick it up from verse 12. He says, and giving joyful thanks to the Father.
Stuart, you're breaking up. Is it just us, or is it breaking up for everyone else?
It's okay for me.
I can't change anything from this end anyway, right now. I'll just keep going. It's happened before when I've screen shared, I think. So it might just be my internet. I honestly don't know. I'll just keep going. He says, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. Look at this. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. That's one dimension of the heavenly realms, or the dimension of the spiritual realm. That we were in a dominion under the control, under the power, in the realm of darkness. And he's brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. So he's talking about a movement, not just that you stay where you are and you've just been saved, but you've actually moved from one dimension of the heavens. Sorry, guys, I'm struggling a bit here. I'm going to take a Strepsil and see what happens. We've moved from one dimension in the heavens out of a dominion of darkness, and he's brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Do you see the movement? We've moved from one dimension to another dimension. He's using the language of Exodus, brought out of Egypt into the promised land. We've been brought out of darkness under the new Exodus into the kingdom of the Son he loves. In other words, we've shifted position. We've shifted dimension. Now, I got saved on a Monday morning in a coffee shop, and it was pouring with rain. When I walked out, the same streets were there and the same roads were there, and I was still in the city of London. But I'd shifted dimension. I'd moved from one supernatural state to another supernatural state. And I knew something had happened to me, but it's taken all these years to begin to unpack what actually happened to me. Now, this is language is many people in the New Age and in the occult would understand this language. Now, I'm not saying we want to adopt that because of that, but the church has lost this type of language because we've made everything so moral, so academic, and so sensible that we've lost an understanding of supernatural dimensions and realities. And the church is waking up to this because we desperately need to, because it's taught in the scriptures as we see, but we also need to know how to live it so we can operate from our heavenly identity and from our position in the heavens where we have authority in the spirit realm to exert the will of God on the earth. So Colossians 1:13, Paul describes salvation as a shift from one dimension to another dimension. Now we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 12. Okay, here we go. Hebrews chapter 12. Now I'm giving you some scriptures so you can go and study them yourself, pray into them yourself, because I want to make sure that whatever we do, it we're deeply rooted in scripture. He's just been saying to them about the old covenant. We haven't anymore come to a mountain with fire, which is terrifying. But he says this, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Now, every single one of those is extraordinary. But I just want you to notice that he's talking about a shift in dimensions. We've moved from not being saved. He doesn't say, oh, you've just been forgiven, guys. You're now forgiven and are going to go to heaven one day. He said, you've already come there. You've already come to Mount Zion. Now, Mount Zion was Jerusalem, was where the temple was, and where that's why it's the city of the living God. But we've now come into a new Jerusalem, a heavenly Jerusalem. And we've come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. So I'd ask you a question. When did you last see thousands of angels when you had a quiet time and spent time with the Lord? To what degree has your imagination and your spirit opened up to this? Hebrews describes salvation in such a different way to the way a 21st century Christian would describe it, which would be much more about having been forgiven, been accepted. He said, no, your whole dimension, you've shifted dimensions. You've now already come to this heavenly Jerusalem. You've already come to thousands upon thousands of angels. And so this idea of ascension prayer is that we're beginning it through our, as we'll talk about, our spirits to ascend into that place where these become real to us, living to us. They become experiences of on a regular daily basis. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. I'm not doing terribly well here. One of the things that's happened to me is I've learned and I've been pressing into this ascension prayer is when I've come to Mount Zion, which is the mountain of God's presence. And again, it's symbolic language to describe the high places of where you encounter God. Because in the spirit, there isn't actually a mountain. In the spirit, it's encountering God in the high places. What's happened is it's I've been filled with awe and wonder. I've been overwhelmed. I've been enraptured by the beauty of it. I've experienced his loving presence because I'm welcome, I'm invited, I'm allowed to come. He's invited me in. And it really changes my perspective on the earth and how I look at life and how I understand who I am now that I'm a new creation in Christ. All these scriptures are require study and prayer and meditation and dwelling and contemplation and allowing our spirits to come through them to experience the reality of what they talk about. Okay, let's look at John chapter 10, verse 9. All right, quite a well-known scripture, John 10, the Good Shepherd, I'm the Good Shepherd, that teaching. Just look at verse 9 and think about dimensions. Jesus is saying this, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Now, most Christians are quite happy with that in the West at that point. You get salvation through Jesus. Yeah, we get that. But then look at what he says. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Think dimensional shift. Jesus is the gate, the doorway into this eternal life of salvation. And we get to come in and go out and enjoy the pasture, which is very Psalm 23 language. It's like the fullness of the salvation that we've been given. To a sheep, pasture is everything. To you and I, coming in and going out is everything. Everything that we need is found in this new dimension of coming in and through Christ into this arena, this dimension of full salvation. Again, do you see the dimensional shift? Do you see the movement? Do you see the movement from one location to another location, from one reality to another reality? That's what we've come into. Now look at John chapter 14. I don't know if we can we make that any bigger? Don't worry. All right. A very famous scripture, one that's completely opened up to me recently. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. That were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back to take you to be with me, so that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place from which I am going. Now, I've been an Anglican clergyman for 35 years, done hundreds and hundreds of funerals, and this comes up in almost every funeral. And I think I always thought this was a funeral verse. And as when I got Jesus has died, gone ahead, raised from the dead, when I come to die, he'll take me into heaven to be with him. But I suddenly thought the other day, he's not talking about us dying. He's saying that, he said that there are many rooms in his Father's house. So he's talking about family. He's using the language of family. One of the dynamics back in the early in the days of when Jesus was alive was a man, when he went to get married, they'd build another room for him and his wife in the family house. He'd go and get her, bring her back, and they would live together in the house in the new room, but the whole house would be open to them, but they would have their own room. Jesus is saying he's going to go and die and go and prepare a place for us. Now, that's absolutely death and resurrection. He's prepared a place for us in his Father's house. Now, again, we need to understand that Scripture uses imagery, symbolic language. There aren't going to be houses in heaven as he's talking about places where we can dwell and live in the Spirit. He's gone to prepare a house place for us in his Father's presence. And then he'll come back and take us to be with him. Now, coming back to take us to be with him is basically what happens at Pentecost. The Lord returns and the Spirit is poured out. The new creations get activated. And as of the day you received the Holy Spirit and received salvation, you were incorporated with Christ in the heavenly realms with a new home, a new place where you could live, a new place that was yours, a place where you could go to, and it was your home. You see, we've got to break the mindset that death is my doorway into heaven. Our doorway into heaven is faith in Christ and union with his Spirit. And once you're in union with him, your home is in heaven. And you can go in and come out, like you said earlier, you're able to flow in and out of the unseen into the seen, from the seen into the unseen. These realities become normal to you to experience. The whole point of it is union, closeness, intimacy, friendship, safety, and an eternal heavenly dimension, which is God's desire, I believe, is that to become increasingly normal to us to experience heavenly dimensions. And in a minute, what we're going to do, so I give my voice a bit of a break. I'm going to get you a chance where you come and we're going to pray in the spirit for a little bit because we've got to activate our spirits. It's very hard to ride a bicycle if you've not got movement. It's hard to step into these things unless you've begun to flow a bit, move a bit. So we're praying tongues a little bit. And I'm going to invite you to go and ask the Lord to open up what dimension of heaven he'd like to show you tonight. In his house are many rooms. There are many dimensions of heaven. If you were to go through the book of Revelation, there are so many dimensions of heaven expressed in it. And it's infinite. It'll be limitless. It'll be because heaven is limitless. But you've got to find your own journey into these realms by faith and by activating your spirit, because your spirit's already there in union with the spirit of God. Just the rest of you's got to catch up. And this type of teaching is basically awakening our ability, awakening the possibility of being allowed to actually step into these things. Now, a couple of quick thoughts here. How are we doing for time? Okay. C.S. Lewis has some brilliant stuff on this whole area of dimensions. And for those of you who are C.S. Lewis fans, you will know this, the story of the magician's nephew, which is a story of how Narnia was formed. And these two children, Diggory and I want to say, actually, I can't remember what was Diggory?
Polly.
Diggory's Polly. That's right. They find themselves in a wood, and it's called the Wood Between the Worlds. Can you put the picture up? In the Wood Between the Worlds, there are these pools. And when they jump into the pools, they are taken to different worlds. And they described it like it's like we're in a that where they were in a corridor, and there were many doors off the corridor, and you could go through it, the doors into different rooms. And Lewis is obviously writing a story, but he's touching on realities which are very, very real. That there is access into heavenly dimensions that are open for us by the Spirit. So Jesus is always the gate, he's always the doorway, but he's the doorway into the heavens. And what happens with Diggory and Polly is they go in through one of these pools and they end up seeing Aslan bring creation Narnia into existence. He sings it into being. He plays again with the idea of these dimensional shifts with the Voyage of the Dawn Treader, when they're in one of their homes and there's a painting. Have you got the next picture? And suddenly they are wet with water because there is the painting is a portal, a gateway into Narnia. And suddenly they actually get sucked in and they get soaked and wet. Now, this is the idea behind the mystery of the Gospels and the mystery of the heavens, of our union with Christ, and that we're seated with him in heavenly places, and we have access stepping into these unseen realities, which are very, very real. Now, I know this is. I guess you're probably, I guess you're on the call tonight because you're interested in this stuff. To a lot of people, I would be absolutely nuts at this moment. I think this would be heretical. This would be completely ridiculous. But I do think we're in an age when God is awakening these things in us. The idea of dimensions, of metaverse, the universe with different expressions, has come very big in film recently, in the last 20, 30 years. And I think it's part of God preparing us for realities which the church needs to wake up to because it's all in scripture. Now, at this point, let's just do this. So I probably just need to stop talking for a little bit. I'm just going to invite you to put your hand on your heart. Generally, it's really helpful to close your eyes. When you get better at this stuff, more practice, you can do it with your eyes open. But particularly to begin with, you need to be able to focus and close your eyes. And I'm just going to invite you just to just begin to pray in tongues, sing in tongues, just sing with your spirit, make melody in your heart to the Lord. However you would do that, just activate your spiritual nature by engaging. Paul says, when I pray in tongues, I pray with my spirit. When I sing in tongues, I sing with my spirit. We're able to sing with our spirit and pray in our spirit in different ways, but tongues is obviously an absolutely fantastic way. The next minute or two, just begin to flow and just turn your heart to the Lord and sing, pray, speak in tongues or in the spirit, and just get your spirit moving. Just activate it. I don't want to tell you how to do this because this is about you and the Holy Spirit operating together. But it may be helpful for you to see a window, a door, a picture frame, a gate, an access where you're operating, you're moving from one dimension into another. You're stepping from one reality into another reality, which are existing right beside each other. Because heaven isn't up there, out there somewhere. It's at hand. It's right next to you. You're in it. It's becoming aware of the realms you're already in because you're in Christ. Just ask the Lord to show you and take you tonight and show you a dimension of the heavens, a place he's prepared for you, where you're welcome. Very open, as it were. And over the next 2 or 3 minutes, just relax and look and gaze. Dare to believe that the Holy Spirit is going to show you. We do this by faith. And see what you see and hear what you hear. Perceive what you perceive and step in and be led by the Spirit as He opens these things up to you. Relinquish your control. Relinquish your fear, getting it wrong, not doing it right. and entrust yourselves to the Spirit. The Spirit of truth will guide you. You may be really flying and it may be really easy, which is would be lovely. It might be difficult for you, might be new for you. Well, don't criticize yourself. Don't try and make something happen. Just relax and just know that you're accepted, you're loved, you're welcome. Just gently as can just turn your heart, your mind, your eyes, your inner eyes to the heavens. And just wait on the Lord. You want to take another minute. Okay, so you begin to disengage and just come back to the Zoom call. Just begin to just thank the Lord that He's at work. Thank that He's begun a good work and you will take it on to completion. He's going to teach you how to step into this kind of more mystical expression of our faith. Thank Him you're His son, His daughter, and you're welcome into the heavenly realms. He's already purchased a place for you there. He will not turn you away. And ask Him to keep on teaching you. Okay. Helen, can we lose the picture? Thank you. We'll come to that in a minute. There we go. Just make it gallery. Brilliant. There we go. Brilliant. Okay, before we just do our next little bit, is anybody dying to ask a question? I'm aware this may be very new for some, maybe not that new for others. But yeah, anybody dying to ask a question? Unmute and just go ahead.
If we go through a gate to enter it, do we need to sort of imagine we're coming out through the gate? Or we're in a sense, we're not leaving that completely behind, are we?
No, not at all, James. You're permanently there.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the thing is, in our spirits, we're multidimensional. We're in all sorts of dimensions at one time, without necessarily knowing it. Before the throne, seated on the heavenly places, on Mount Zion, all these are accessible. Though we don't tend to access more than one at a time, just because we're more limited. But I know other people have and can do. We do. It's the old mindset: is I leave heaven, I'm always in heaven. You just turn whenever you turn your wherever you wherever God's opened up for you, you can always go back there at any point. And so you keep going back, and you keep going back, and you dwell, and you rest, and you wait, and you enjoy. But you're open to the Lord showing you more, taking you on into different aspects of it. So it's a journey you go on with the Spirit as He opens things up for you.
Right, thank you.
It's like going up a mountain. It's going up, you'll go through valleys, you go through hills, you get views over
Continuous,
here. It's
continuing journey.
what Paul talks about, the upward call of God in Christ. I press on to take hold of that for which He took hold of me. It's a very much a journey upwards. Yeah.
Thank you.
Bless you. Anybody else? A thought or a question? Okay, let's talk about our spirits for a moment. So 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, He said, I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body would be kept blameless. So we have it in Scripture, the basic teaching about spirit, soul, and body, which I'm sure all of you will have heard those three things. So the body obviously is our physical existence, the body we've got. And we will, after we go to be with the Lord and our time on earth is ended, we will have a glorious body. In the meantime, we have a body, we have our soul, which is our internal life, the way we think, our thought, our imaginations, our minds, our emotions, and our wills, the basic faculties of the human internal life, which everyone's got a body and everyone's got a soul. Our spirits are our God-given capacity to flow in union with the divine. Our God-given capacity to flow in union with the divine. That's it is your it's your spirit, but it's in union with the Holy Spirit, which is what brings new life. So when you're born again, your spirit becomes one with God's spirit, and his life fills and enters you. And now you have access to the most incredible capabilities that your spirit has. Your spirit can do things that your soul and your body can't do. Many things. So it can access the heavens. It can rise up into the heavens. It can flow with life and glory and light. And it can hear God's voice. And it can see in the kingdom. And we're probably going to spend the next few months looking at what your spirit can do. But I think you probably all have a basic, awareness of this, which is why you're on the Zoom call tonight. So I'm going to put a picture up now, which is of a train with two carriages. I think Helen and there we go. Where are we at, Helen? Ah, there we are. Okay, so drawn with my fair hand today, very basic. But the principle is very simple. Your spirit is the engine of your life. The idea is that your spirit leads your soul, which leads your body. And the reason why the train is bigger is because your spirit is much, much bigger, much more powerful, and connected to the divine and limitless. And all the power for the kingdom, all supernatural heavenly power that's pure and holy, flows through your spirit. The idea then is that your soul is then saturated with your spirit and comes in line with your spirit. So you think in line and in harmony with the spirit. You feel in line and harmony with the spirit. Your whole being is being saturated, soaked, infused with spirit life. And that will flow into your body. So your body then does what it's told. Your body flows with your spirit. So your spirit leads your soul, which leads your body. Now, a person without the spirit, without the spirit of God, still has a spirit. And without getting onto that too much tonight, it's not flowing with the Holy Spirit. Paul says it's following the ways of the spirit of the air, which is the spirit at work in those who are disobedient. But you're in Christ, your spirit is to lead your soul, which is to lead your body. Very important to realize that I don't think you can separate your spirit from your soul once you become a Christian. What I mean by that is you have an experience of communion, and you have an experience of and you begin to see things in the your imagination, your mind is there. It's not spirit in your soul together. What goes wrong is it's what the Bible calls the flesh, and the flesh is when soul and body have desires and it's that are literally going in the other from the spirit. They go towards independence and self-sufficiency rather than flowing in and with the life of the spirit. When you're led by the spirit, your soul, and for some people it literally happens and they go in there. Do you remember Paul says, I had an experience of going to the third heaven. Whether I was in the body or out of the body, I couldn't tell you. His spirit and his soul went into the heavens. He just didn't know whether he had a body or not, Presumably, it was such an overwhelming experience, it, in one sense, didn't matter, but he didn't know whether his body was there or not. Most of us, our experience of going into the heavens is spirit and soul, experiencing through imagery, through picture, through symbolism, through color. We act the not that people have experiences of their bodies going into the heavens. Tell you a wondering
We've lost you for a moment, Stuart. Is it just me?
He's frozen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't hear him either. It was just blurry and yeah. Was it just me?
No,
Maybe take the picture down, see what happens.
I think he's actually gone.
Oh.
He'll be back.
It was his Wi-Fi. It will be back.
Sorry, I'm back. Am I back?
Yep.
Sorry,
You're
guys. I
back
didn't.
now.
Well,
Good to see you.
Can everyone? Am I? Can you hear me now?
We can hear you.
Yes, we can hear you. That's good. There you
Sorry,
go.
guys.
You're back.
Can you see me again?
Yep.
Yes, we can hear you.
Nah.
Which world did you go to, Stuart?
Well, they talk about the portal. I mean, we use the language of portals on computers all the time.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You're able to step into a reality which you aren't physically there, but you go to.
Yeah. Welcome
So I was going
back.
to tell you a story about my friend Paul Hopkins. Paul had an experience where he was for the first Paul is one of the most supernatural people I know. And he says for the first 9 months, every single day he spent time meditating on Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5, the throne room. And when you start meditating and you begin to let your imagination and your heart begin to engage with spiritualities, and the key is believing that what you're seeing, you're actually experiencing, that you're not just having a nice image, you're actually touching and connecting with heavenly realities. And one time he had a particularly vivid experience of being in the heavens and of there being pomegranate trees. He was in his bedroom. He was in his flat, but it was a very beautiful experience. And next day, when he came back out of it, he thought that was really remarkable. I absolutely love that. Was it really true? Well, next day he took a group of teenagers, YWAMers, on a trip. They got in the car and off they went in the car. And after a couple of minutes, they could hear something rattling around. And one of the teenagers reached under the chairs. And he said, "No, look what I found. There was a pomegranate under one of the chairs." And he had never bought a pomegranate, didn't have a pomegranate. And it was like God saying, "You see, these things are very real, even though you may be experiencing inside your imagination. You're touching on heavenly realities because that's how it works. So your temptation will almost always like me to dismiss it. But here's the question to ask. What if what I'm seeing is actually true? What if what I'm seeing is actually real?" And you begin to give yourself permission to dare to see things, experience things that are real, not just make-believe. So our battle is not between our spirit and our soul, but between our spirit and our flesh. And it's the flesh which operates independently. And so the more that we live and give ourselves to the ways of the spirit, the more the rest of us begins to, as it were, resonate, become in the same frequency, the same movement as the spirit. And therefore, more and more are we able to engage with the unseen realms because we dare to trust and allow our spirit to take us there. And wherever you start, I would urge you, like Paul, it may be that you already have a series of images, a series of experiences where you can go back and go straight back into them. If you haven't, then start in the extraordinary scriptures that speak of heavenly realities and go to the word and allow your spirit and your imagination and your soul to push through the words into the realities behind them. So use Hebrews 12, use John 14, go to the gate in John chapter 10 and allow the Spirit to show you what he will show you about you, the revelation he has for you about the realms in which he's inviting you into. Now, I think most of the time it happens through the imagination and through picture and through image. But it's not the only way it happens. And I'm very image-based. So for me, that's the primary way. But you can also feel, see, sense, and consider, and I think your thinking can be shaped. But I do think all of us have an imagination that needs activating, because almost everything in scripture that speaks about the heavens, it's picture, it's image for all of us. Okay. So let's do this as we finish. Can you put it on gallery for everybody? That'd be awesome.
What do we have to do?
All right, so I'm going to, okay, there we go. I'm going to give you an opportunity now to just own your spirit. Your spirit nature, to very consciously say to the Lord, I want to own it, accept it, and learn how to move in it. First thing you need to do is to accept it and own it and say, this is beautiful. It's a beautiful gift, and I want to really receive it tonight and not dismiss it. So that's the first step. I'm just going to lead you in that. So wherever you are, just put your hand on your heart. And just turn your face to the Lord. Lift up your heart to the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Acceptance is reality.
And just begin to thank him that he's made your spirit one with him.
Yeah, sorry, you're on mute.
I'm so sorry.
Stuart, sorry,
yep,
I
muted you okay.
By accident, sorry.
All right, we'll start that one over again. Just put your hand on your heart and just begin to thank the Lord. He has given you a spirit at one with his spirit, and it's the source and the access for all the kingdom life to flow through you, into you, and out from you. Just receive it by faith, this reality. We thank you, Lord, that we're spirit, soul, and body, that we're the Trinity, as it were, modeled in individuals. Three parts, one person, all flowing together. We thank you that the Spirit is the most foundational life-giving element through which life flows into us. Kingdom life, heavenly life, Spirit life. And we want to learn, Lord. We want to learn. We want to learn. We want to learn things that we've not learned before. Teach us the ways of the Spirit. Teach us the ways our spirit operates. Unfold our heavenly DNA. Unlock all the capabilities and the capacity and the potential and the extraordinary, brilliant nature of our spirits. And I thank you that our spirits are incredibly wealthy and rich in the things of God. Now just take a moment and just from your own heart, just could say, Lord, I'm so sorry why I've not prioritized my spirit properly. I'm so sorry why I've dismissed it and relied on my own abilities. I'm so sorry I've not learned how to submit and yield and surrender and move spirit to spirit with you, Lord. Lord, I'm so sorry I've let fear influence me. Fear of failing, fear of being silly, fear of being stupid, fear of getting it wrong, fear of being deceived. When you promise that you will show me what's true. And forgive me, Lord, where I've moved into control. I've tried to take control and kept things ordered and safe and sensible and felt I was able to handle it. Lord, tonight I release and relinquish fear and control to you and my own pride, as if I could control, as if I could be in charge. And I thank you for your cleansing, for your forgiveness, and for your love. And in Jesus' name, I rebuke every scheme of the enemy to use fear and control and pride to shut down my supernatural, mystical nature in Christ. And all religious spirits that have sat with all their theories and analysis and control and deadness. And I send every form and every work of the enemy under the feet of Christ. And I declare in the name of Jesus that I am born again of the Spirit, that I can rise on wings of eagles and my spirit can take me up and high and into the realms of his presence. And I receive my true nature, spirit, soul, and body. And pray, Father God, that you would knit it all together so beautifully that I would manifest your life in me and through me in every area, in every dimension of my reality. And I invite you, Lord, tonight to take me on a journey, an adventure upwards and into the heavens, where you've already prepared a place for me, a home for me. Invade my thinking, invade my dreams, invade my mind, invade my hopes, invade every part of me. And awaken in me the fullness of the new creation in Christ that I am. On the earth and in the heavens at the very same time. Amen and amen. Guys, I'm sorry about my voice. I'm sorry I've been rather croaky tonight. It's 9:15, and I definitely need to stop. God bless you. And again, if you wanna ask questions, enter into any dialogue on Zoom or excuse me on email or WhatsApp, please go via Jeanette, where you can get hold of my information and we can be in touch. You're very welcome to do that. And God bless you and enjoy experimenting. May the adventure in you awaken, and may you go and just celebrate this new life in the spirit that we're all part of now. Amen.
Yeah, thank you, Stuart.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen.
Bye.
Thank you.
God
Thanks,
bless you.
Stuart.
Really.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Stuart. Bye. Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.